live in the American Gardens building on West 81st Street, on the 11th floor. My name is Patrick Bateman. I'm 27 years old. I believe in taking care of myself, in a balanced diet, and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. I can do 1,000 now. After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion. In the shower, I use a water-activated gel cleanser. Then a honey almond body scrub. And on the face, an exfoliating gel scrub. Then I apply an herb mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer, then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion. There is an idea of a Patrick Bateman, some kind of abstraction. But there is no real me, only an entity, something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school. Dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, September 20th, 2005. And in case you didn't notice, this would be Newsreel, your WOG global sit rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends to help you in your headspace and timing adventures. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are as well. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can currently get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, especially if you were to share it with people who you know. And I don't mean just distributing it, but just by actually copying it. I mean just by talking about it, because talking about it, people can find it anywhere. And there's nothing more suspicious than somebody who gives you a disc. They're like, oh yeah, you want to check this out. It looks like advertisement. You know, but if you're talking in casual conversation, elevators, buses, all that kind of stuff, yeah, it's covert. Yeah, I suppose to some degree I'm asking you to advertise for the show. But I'm asking you to advertise for the show because I happen to believe in the show, hence my monk-like performance to feel the need to do this every day. Did you know I've been doing this now for 9 months? 9 months. 5 days a week, 9 months. You know, I'm going to definitely, before anything else, I'm going to do this for a year. I don't care what I lose or what I get. I'm going to do this show 5 days a week for 1 year. Because I got to do it in 1 year increments. Because if you get tired and stuff, everybody who's ever tried to do a show always have stuff come up. Oh, I'm going to miss my TV show. You know, and there's always excuses why people stop doing things. You know, there's always excuses. Anything could be an excuse. Oh, I got sick. My family died. You know, everyone's got an excuse, you know, as to why they're not going to do what it is they want to do. And, you know, whatever excuse you want to use will work. But there's excuses and reasons. And I put it to you that it doesn't really matter if your reason's an excuse or if your excuse is your reason. What matters is what gets done. And, if you're not getting done what you want to get done, then, you know, you got to look at your reasons / excuses as to why that's not happening. Now, I get easily frustrated. Happens all the time. But I got to tell you, I got a letter the other day from a dude, and this is kind of a strange sort of feedback here that I'm going to shout out because there's a lot of stuff that was going on there that I don't really want to talk about. But I got a letter from a dude who I will call Fritz. And he sent me a very nondescript package. I'll just say that. And it came along at about the right time in my life. And I'm a whiny bitch, and I try not to be. But I just wanted to say thanks to everybody out there who does actually support this crazy bastard who is, you know, screaming into the internet to bring you your new show. And I'm doing the best I can over here. And I do apologize if ever I seem to be a whiny bitch. All right, so that said, let's move right on into some other feedback. Dear Sean, I will need your help with an idea I've developed that Rant Media fans could participate in. Oh, I love email like this. It's called a WalkNet, and it would be based on geocaching. I've long time been a fan of yours and patrolling in the Afternow programs, and from these works of art, I was inspired. Good for you. The purpose of WalkNet is to create an underground network of WOGs that can freely exchange items and information. Great idea. As inspired by your work, this so smacks of the after now, and in the light, it would not seem wrong not to do this. Well, of course it would seem wrong not to do this. This is why Rant Media tries to do it. The basic idea is to have all the WOGs out there create clandestine drop-off points / caches, and then utilize GPS and geocaching.com as a method of tracking these locations. There's absolutely nothing preventing you from doing this. The subsequent activity would create WOGNet. No, you would call the subsequent activity WOGNet. You wouldn't create anything because all this is already in place. The names for these caches would all start with WOGNet. Ah, I see. So you name the cache WOGNet this, WOGNet that. This would allow you to do a keyword search for all WOGNet caches at geocaching.com, which, of course, makes it very easy for anyone, you know, if you're doing anything truly subversive or claiming that's time to find these caches and filter them. I'm a logistics guy at heart, and with that in mind, I can create a PDF with a full instruction on how the fans can create WOGNet, right down to the type of container to use and how to post the location, which should be pretty similar to what you get off of geocaching, but, you know, it's a good idea. What I need from you, and what I need from Rant Media, is help getting the message out. Well, consider this your official help getting message out. In particular, I'm thinking of a small space on your website with a WOGNet button that, when clicked on, would lead to a person to download or view a PDF with these instructions. Sorry, not going to happen, but I will mention it on the show. Also, it would be great if you could mention WOGNet from time to time on Newsreel. Well, you know, if there's anything going on with it, sure, yeah, I'll mention there's some news coming up, you bet. Maybe even a WOGNet progress report as part of your show. Again, you are dreaming. In closing, this would give the fans of Rant Media something fun to participate in and an interesting way for Rant Media to track its demographics. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Rant Media is not really concerned with tracking its listeners. It would also be fascinating to just see how it grows and evolves over time. Again, I've had some experience with this kind of thing, and I personally have had my fill of it. There are more details, but I wish to keep this short. Please let me know what you think, and that was from Chris Valiant. So that's cool, you know. And it may sound like I'm slamming Chris here, and I'm not at all. It's just that I happen to have already gone down a similar road to this. Chris would like to do this. So, you know, I don't own the WOGs. Nobody owns the WOGs. The WOGs are the WOGs. You know, so I don't want to, you know, buy implied ownership or whatever. None of that shit. But I see what he's doing here. I don't think it's a really bad idea. You know, I know it's not an idea that I personally, you know, if anyone wants to do that, that's great. But I'm doing all I can currently. Okay? I've got my plate, my dance card is officially full. All right? I can't do anything else. Sorry. I'm already way behind. If you could convince the Afternow fans to allow me to do this instead of Afternow, I'll be all over it. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. Because the Afternow fans have threatened to kill me unless I come out with a season relatively soon. And the patients are running thin. And you do not want to fuck with people who listen to Afternow while they sleep. It's generally a scary thing. These people scare me. All right? So please don't try to get me to do anything else because I'll be killed. By all means, though, you go right ahead. And if anybody wants to help Chris with this, you can get him at chrisvwog@hotmail.net. Is that a not hotmail.net address or hotmail.com? I got hotmail.net here, which seems kind of crazy that I would write that down. Unless there is a Hotmail. A lot of these times I just copy and paste, Dave. It must be a Hotmail.com. So, I don't know, maybe Carbon copy it to both .net and .com. But I'm pretty sure it's ChrisVWog at Hotmail.com. So, you know, good luck with that, Chris. You let me know how that works out. Dear Sean, listening to Tuesday's show, talking about hovercraft on that show and how hovercraft are pretty dope. You know, I'm looking for the ultimate, wog vehicle going on here. And in his term on the hovercraft, one word, handling. Now, yeah, that's true. Hovercraft are not so great on the handling. Hydrogen kits for a car engine. Another person mentioned that in order to protect from rust, one might replace pistons and exhaust system with aluminum parts. This is perhaps not a good idea. Bauxite metals, aluminum, have a major drawback as engine parts compared to ferrite metals, iron, steel, etc. Metal fatigue. Aluminum solder suffers from metal fatigue. If you put 1,000 pounds on aluminum beam designed to hold 4,000 pounds, the beam will eventually break. However, you don't have the same effect with steel. Granted, steel rusts, but you have the same problem with engines. Keep in mind that the effects of metal fatigue are augmented exceptionally by exposure to extreme temperatures, especially if you're talking about both hot and cold. Considering that you're talking about a firing chamber here, it doesn't get much hotter than that. Just something to think about, and that was from Truth and Honor Malikan. Well, I would wonder why nobody's talked about making the engine out of stainless steel. I mean, is it just because making something out of stainless steel would be the cosmic bitch? Or, you know, is that, I mean, could you get the best of both worlds? You know, stainless doesn't rust, and it's steel, and it's super lightweight. How about instead of aluminum, we make engines out of stainless steel for the hydrogen, you know, stuff? I don't know. Get back to me. Newsreel at rantradio.com. Now, concentration camp news. Now, this could be considered, I could be guilty of a little bit of spin here. But double rolls of coiled razor wire went up along the railroad tracks at Long Beach and Gulfport to keep people out of the most severely damaged areas of the cities of New Orleans. Oh, pardon me, Long Beach and Gulfport. This is all due to, you know, the water world flood thing. And it's coming to pass. It's coming for Pass Christian and parts of Biloxi, according to Colonel Joe Spraggins, Director of Emergency Operations in Harrison County. Spraggins said the wire, also known as concertina, is needed because it's impossible to patrol the 60 miles from one end of Harrison County to the other and help control gaps where people are slipping through to go into the beach areas. It goes up fast. It should only be in place a few weeks. It will go down fast as well, he's saying. So he's just doing this to establish control of the region so they don't get looters and all these guys. Because apparently that water down there is all about the sick and disease. Like, if you touch the water, all bad. You know, it makes the canals of Venice look like a spa. When Lynn Bauer drove along the railroad avenue at Long Beach on Friday morning, she was shocked to see a fence crew braced out of Lumberton laying the wire. I love these ads. She was shocked. Oh, my God. They're putting up a fence. Holy shit, I'm shocked. My first thought was it was meant to keep us out. Well, no. My first thought was they were playing bingo. Well, no shit. Give her a cookie for obviousness. Bauer and her husband, Al and Bauer, have been driving to their Mills Avenue home south of railroad tracks since Katrina hit, to salvage what they can. So I've been driving to their Mills Avenue home south of the railroad tracks since Katrina hit to salvage what they can. That's what they're doing. They're going in and out to salvage what they can from their home, I guess. The water came up 3 feet in their home. So there's lots of stuff in there that's above 3 feet. That's probably okay. But when Lynn Bauer saw the razor wire, she said she was hurt. She said it reminded her of a concentration camp. You know, sometimes it really just pisses me off how, you know, totally, it's like offending someone is the most, you know, unbelievable thing you can possibly do in our culture for some reason. Like, she's upset because she can't go to or from her house to get her shit. Okay, meanwhile, they're trying, the reason why, you know, they're putting the concertina wire up is to keep these looters and crackheads and stuff, once they get them out of the region, from just going back into the region, so they create this constant, you know, repetitive flow of, you know, taking out the scumbags. Now, granted, you know, that people want to live there and stuff like that, so you have a choice. You can either say, well, you can do that, in which case we have to put a checkpoint there and man everyone coming in and out and searching everybody, which is a lot of man hours. Or you could say, no, you go right ahead, then the people who go through the wire continue the looting. Because, well, you can't trust them. So, what do you do? You know, on one hand, I can see the reason why people will be upset about the concentration camp, but they're not imprisoning people, they're protecting a region. So before anyone starts getting really, really crazy about whether or not this kind of a thing is a concentration camp, I don't think so. But I'm interested, you know, anytime anybody puts up a barrier or a fence, they say concentration camp, and that's dangerous. You can't do that. this is being touted as, you know, well, look at this. It's all, you know, we're being locked out and la, 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 la. But when you think about it, it's actually, you know, a pretty good idea, I would say. Now, there's a lot of ideas that are not good ideas. But don't, let's not confuse the two, okay? Let's not confuse the two. Let's not say something is, you know, oh, this is obviously, you know, it's not. This is, you know, logical. There are all kinds of crimes against humanity happening all over the world that we can focus on and call them what they are. But don't get sucked into ideas like this where just because somebody puts up a fence for everyone's protection that you think it's going to be, you know, a huge, you know, oh, that's it, the camps are going up. Yeah, the camps are going up, but they're not going up in New Orleans, I'll tell you that. Now, in Nuke Rights News, Iran has an inalienable right to produce nuclear fuel. The country's president, Mohammad, I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. Mr. M.A., the prez. Okay, the head man, the head honcho of Iran. Let's try that again. The head honcho of Iran has the inalienable right to produce nuclear fuel. That's what he says. He's told the United Nations, we have the God-given, Allah-given, you know, Torah-given right here to produce nuclear fuel. That's our right. I love all these talks about rights. You know, I've never actually seen any evidence of any rights whatsoever, but that's okay. Our religion prohibits us from it's against, you know, the religion of Islam to have nuclear arms. Our religious leader has prohibited it from the point of view of religious law. It's a closed road. We don't even need it. We can guarantee our security in other ways, Ahmadinejad said in an interview with the Weekly Newsweek. Oh, well, okay then. You know, you got this. Your country is obviously run by religious law, as you have stated. So, you know, you don't need nuclear weapons. Well, that makes me feel a lot better. Oh, wait. No, it doesn't. Because, you know, religious law can change. Because all you got to do is have some bearded psycho come out and say, God, talk to him, and Bob's your uncle. We're on our way to a nice, you know, great big rolling ball of fire coming from left to right on the horizon, approaching from the east. Not so good. Speaking before the General Assembly, he invited other state and private companies to help with the program. How about no? He strongly criticized the U.S. arms policies and said Islam precluded Iran from having atomic weapons. Right. So we're going to make any kind of foreign policy based on what you believe and worshiping Iraq. I don't think so. Under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, Iran is entitled to use nuclear energy for people's peaceful purposes, such as, you know, powering mud huts. However, the UK has suggested it has fortified that right because it secretly tried to acquire technology required to develop nuclear weapons. So, you've been trying to acquire the tech to develop nuclear weapons, and now you want to make nuclear reactors. I guess that nuclear weapon stuff was for information purposes only. The U.S. Secretary of State has meanwhile, accused Iran of undermining efforts to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons. Imagine that. Condoleezza Rice told the General Assembly at the beginning of its session on Saturday that the U.N. Secretary Council must deal effectively with Iran. Not that Condoleezza Rice is really the bastion of, you know, free speech here, but whatever. Iran should return to negotiations with the EU3, UK, France, and Germany, and abandon forever its plans for nuclear weapons capability, she said. When diplomacy has been exhausted, the Security Council must become involved. Wow. So we're already talking about, hey, Iran, why don't you not fuck around, because we'll shoot you. That's pretty much what she's saying. Now, in vaccination news, now, a lot of people, I don't get the vaccinations. Personally, I've been to see a doctor in a real long time. Why? I live pretty much out in the country. I try to get as much exercise as I can. I like to get myself in my environment, you know. Occasionally getting bit by mosquitoes is okay. A lot of people, you know, I think there's something to that. So when I was a kid, I used to get just mauled by mosquitoes. You know what I mean? I grew up, like, pretty much running around in a forest. There's a creek back there and stuff like that. And, of course, the mosquitoes are all over that sucker, you know? So, you know, you're running around when you're a kid playing guns or whatever, and you're getting a lot of bugs biting you. Well, what winds up happening is, obviously, your body starts to build up, you know, a bit of a resistance to a lot of these diseases. So maybe those little bastards, when they take their little tiny nursing of blood from you, they wind up giving, you know, germs and stuff like that to you, and your body winds up getting a stronger immune system. But, you know, in our culture, our dead culture, where everybody lives in cities and nobody gets out into nature anymore, is it any wonder that all of a sudden everyone becomes hypersensitive to all these different things? So maybe that's part of it. Maybe just go hiking or take your kids hiking when they're young. Let their bodies build up their immune system. You won't need these flu injections. But anyway, it seems that healthcare workers who don't have flu injections could be risking patients' lives. Now, you'd think that a healthcare worker would be the first in line to do this. But low flu vaccination rates among healthcare workers could be risking the lives of frail elderly patients and increasing winter pressure in UK hospitals, according to a research published in the latest issue of the Journal of Clinical Nursing. Less than 8% of nurses and healthcare assistants surveyed in the two Liverpool hospitals said they had annual flu injections. Wow! Which begs the question, why aren't they getting it? Because they're nurses, right? Well, they're also in a very sick environment. I mean, the hospital's full of germs, right? There's all kinds of sick people there. So they probably have a pretty strong immune system. 29% of the 144 healthcare workers who took part in the study said they didn't feel the need to be vaccinated. Didn't feel they needed to be vaccinated. 18% said they were not aware of the vaccine, and 11% were concerned about the side effects. That's what 11% said, that they were concerned about the side effects. Personally, I'm not into getting jacked up full of any chemicals from any companies. That's just me. Vaccinating healthcare workers against flu can reduce staff sickness and winter pressure, as well as reducing deaths among frail older patients. Wow, does this sound like some sort of a pharma fascism thing to generate money for them by inoculating all of our healthcare workers? That's a huge, huge percentage of the population. Dr. Helen Canning, who carried out her research in the University of Liverpool, I wonder who funded her. Our study found that the main reason for poor vaccination uptake was the basic lack of knowledge and understanding of the vaccine, especially regarding the benefits and side effects. Oh, I see. So we didn't talk to them the right way, is what she's saying here. Many of the respondents appeared to demonstrate a general apathy towards the flu vaccination, because if they tell you the truth and say that they don't trust it, they'll probably get fired. Almost half of the respondents were either not aware of the vaccine or did not think they needed it. This is what she said. Well, just said up here, it said only 18% were not aware. But she says that it went from 18% to half. That's really interesting. One encouraging finding of our study was that half of those who had not been vaccinated stated that they might be influenced to have the vaccine in the future. One encouraging finding from our study was that half of those who had not been vaccinated stated that they might be influenced to have the vaccine in the future. How is that encouraging? How the fuck is that encouraging? I don't understand why she'd be encouraged by the fact that she'll be able to stick needles in more people. It sounds very odd. Clearly, you know, these healthcare workers are not dying. You know, we have to do it because there's a lot of flimsy, I don't know about injecting stuff into me so I can help other people. I don't know about that one. You know what I mean? I mean, that's getting a little bit sketchy there. That's a little too pharma fascist for me. Thanks very much. Now, here's a fucking cool story. You ready for this one? Space Marine News. You know that I got a boner for space. I'm loving the space. Anything regarding space, space flight, spacecraft, star cruisers, you know, whatever. I would sign up with anybody if I could just get on a star cruiser. No problem. Get off the rock. That's the plan. Now, in Space Marine News. Oh, I just get tingly. After 3 years of being laughed out of meetings, the U.S. Marine Corps, which is pretty ballsy to laugh the Marine Corps out of anything, futuristic plans to deploy through space, the Marines, okay, coming down through space, may finally be getting some traction, notes Aviation Week's spunky new spinoff, Defense Technology International, which, you know, is pretty handy to look at from time to time. Although the chuckle factor hasn't altogether disappeared, the Air Force Research Laboratory at DARPA are beginning to study options for a reusable upper-stage space travel vehicle, the same kind of technology that the Marines might need to get a ride halfway across the globe. So what they do is they jump inside this little thing that gets super high in the stratosphere and then flies like really, really high up and then redeploys down low. The effort is called Hot Eagle and could be the first step towards the first step forward in Marine Corps' hopes for space travel. Within minutes of bursting into the atmosphere beyond the speed of sound and dispatching that ominous sonic boom, a small squad of Marines could be on the ground ready to take care of business within 2 hours. One presentation muses that the capsule might later be picked up by an Osprey or by a balloon cable and C-17 transport plane. Or the Marines might hike out and leave the crew capsule behind. The Marine Corps calls the concepts a small unit space transport and insertion capability, also known as SUSTAIN. Ooh, very cool. This plan, a growing group of Marine supporters say, is the natural evolution of the service's proclivity for expeditionary warfare that began decades ago with amphibious landings. The concept is to deliver strategic equipment or a small squad of soldiers to any point on the globe, even the most hard-to-reach locations within hours of need. Once on the ground, those soldiers can carry out strategically critical missions like reconnaissance or destroying a specified target. Now, in a land of super cool insertion and travel, that is hot. I mean, you gotta admit, you know, jumping onto a small, like, rocket planes, jacking up into the stratosphere and then deploying after, you know, flying around the world in just a matter of hours. I mean, that is some pretty sexy kit. You can't go wrong there. How long before that gets and winds up on the surplus market? Well, we'll see. I'll say 2012, just for fun. Now, in global warming news, now, if you click on this link on the on my live journal there, you'll go to this story from Friday, September 16th, 2005. And it seems that right off the top, I would like to draw your attention to the fucking idiot in the kayak who's close enough to a wild, you know, probably, I'd say, in the neighborhood of, 1,000-pound sea lion. And he's actually within poking distance with his oars on a kayak because he seems to think that this sea lion is kind of cool or something. These kind of people just make me insane when they get this close to large predatory wild animals, and then they wind up getting fucking killed. But, that aside, it seems that there is the, in global warming news, we have some sea lions that have, kind of attacked, well, not attacked, but are moving into a Californian harbor. A small Californian harbor has been invaded by ship-sinking sea lions, writes Dan Glacier. Situation vacant. A town sewer required for a small Southern Californian harbor community. Oh, isn't this cute? It must be prepared to work all hours. Should not be afraid of water or 800-pound pinnipeds. Newport Harbor, just south of L.A., has a problem. A large problem. A large, blubbery problem. With fetid breath, bad manners, and a propensity to bark deep into the night. Oh, and it likes to sink boats, too. 2 weeks ago, the Razzle Dazzle, a recently restored 1910 sailboat, sank in Newport Harbor. It had been boarded by 18 sea lions who have adopted the harbor as their home. Unfortunately for Razzle Dazzle's owner, Jerry Dunlap, their combined weight was also too much for the antique boat. I was kind of dumbfounded, said Dunlap. This is a major setback. I'm 63. I don't know if I feel like working another 2 years to get the boat to work. The sea lion invasion continues. Southern California has reached a spate of encounters with the wonderful world of nature. The silly season, at least here, shows no sign of abating. Isn't that funny? They're calling it the silly season. It's silly. Silly, silly, silly that we've got these sea lions invading our ports and sinking boats. It's silly. It's kind of funny, kind of cute. You know, that obviously we didn't have this problem before. And so, you know, to kind of hide this whole global warming thing going on here, we're just going to kind of make fun of it, you know? Because isn't it funny? Isn't that cute? Didn't that just make you feel warm and cuddly that there's 800-pound sea lions going into marinas, losing all fear of people to, you know, seek shelter and stuff? What does that tell you? How does that, you know, maybe they're in the region because they need the fish. Maybe there's something going on with the fish. Like, this is a major indicator of what's going on with our planet, and it's getting names like silly. It's silly. Now, in robotic takeover news, if you think your cell phone is smart, cognitive radio technology is set to take artificial intelligence to a new level. Virginia Center for Wireless Telecommunications, CWT, has received a 3-year U.S. National Science Foundation grant, I guess, to develop cognitive radio technology and advance cognitive network capabilities. Very interesting stuff. A news release describes cognitive radios like an intelligent cell phone or police radio that can determine the best way to operate in any given situation, instead of blindly following a set of predefined protocols like regular radios. Cognitive radios can now configure to their environment and to their users' needs. This is pretty wild stuff. CWT's approach is that the new cognitive radios are similar to living creatures and that they are aware of their surroundings and understand their own and their users' capabilities and the governing social constraints. Ah, the governing social constraints. So your TV may know if it's supposed to be running a certain program or not. Maybe you have to defeat the AIs in our new televisions and computers in order to copy anything. Maybe that's where this is eventually going to go. I'm just, throwing it out there. according to the center director, Charles W. Bostain. The grant will fund research into allowing the radios to share a distributed knowledge to base, a distributed knowledge base to use for individual and collective reasoning and learning. I can see a huge application for licensing with something like this, you know? If all the radios look after each other, it's like peer-to-peer censorship. We approach this network like you would any approach a community of animals, says Bostain. First, we teach the radios to seek each other. They're kind of seek others of their own kind and recognize their environment, thus creating a network. Then, when the CWT team teaches the different cognitive radios to work together, kind of like a wireless internet. Only everybody's a router, everybody's a distributor. I think this is a really great idea, but I'd like this idea to be given to, you know, the general public. I don't like the idea of just belonging to big business, because if you were to take this, you could go one of two ways with it. You could make radios that are very, very concerned about copyright. You could make radios that, you know, these radios get built into everything. It could get maybe tagged onto another device. For example, you have your television, and your television has this itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny cell phone inside the television. And it's hooked up to one of these radios. So when you turn the TV on, you can't turn the TV on without activating the little radio. So it doesn't have to go through the signal at all. What it does is it comes through the air. So the cell phone goes out, phone's another TV, which you know that there's going to be another TV really close by. The other TV, you know, it's got the latest and greatest software upgrades and everybody's on the same page. The phone's around. Everybody, you know, make sure that everybody's on the same link. Everybody's got, you know, appropriate media. They get their proper codes and everything. And everyone's paying their licensing. And that way, you know, everything just keeps on rolling. This is a great way for that kind of thing to happen. Some may call me paranoid. Maybe some people are right. But I'm just saying that's a good application for this. As well, we could find out how this technology works. Open source the sucker, you know. And hook it all up to everybody's computers, so rather than having an Ethernet, you know, port, you could just have this and go to a little box, and it sets it all up. Of course, then again, you have to license the airwaves, don't you? Don't you love all this licensing? Lots of licensing going on here. Now, in core political education news. Now, education's a good thing, provided it's education and not propaganda. Citing a U.S. shortage of math and science teachers, IBM, who's very concerned about this kind of thing, has pledged financial support for employees who leave the company to pursue teaching careers. So we'll pay teachers of tomorrow, which means obviously that those teachers are going to be very interested in IBM. The tech giant said on Friday that it would reimburse participants in its new transition to teaching program up to $15,000 for tuition and stipends. Participants will also be able to remain at IBM while they conduct coursework and training, the company said. Many of our experienced employees have math and science backgrounds and have made it clear that they are ready to leave IBM and they aren't ready to start contributing, Stanley Litto, vice president of the IBM Corporate Community Relations, said in a statement. This is a great way to kind of handle, I mean, they're winning a couple ways here. They can downsize, they can get rid of employees, and they can send them out as teachers, making sure that IBM stays really big in everybody's minds and the upcoming generation. Transferring their skills from IBM to the classroom is natural for many, especially in the areas of math and science. Oh, yeah, that's natural. How is that natural at all? You know, you're just a company. It's not natural that a company should teach in school. Nice wording, though. Wonderful spin on this article. IBM plans to initially open the program to as many as 100 employees. Wow, a whole 100, eh? In the United States. The program is set to begin in January in New York, North Carolina, and several other locations where IBM has big staffs, the company said. 100 people. Well, being as a lot of people are probably going to be concerned they're going to lose their job. So, you know, they're going to take the best of the best, and it'll only be the most IBM color-bleeding people who are going to be able to be eligible for this. You can bank on that. Well, how do you feel about the company? How do you feel about IBM? Do you think we're a good company? Do you think we're a bad company? Are you happy with your time at IBM? Because if you are, we're ready to support you, but if you're not happy with IBM, and we don't think you're going to send the right image to the consumers of tomorrow, you can bet that we're not going to train you as a teacher, are we? Employees who wish to participate must have management approval. Oh, look at that. Must have management approval and must have worked for the company for at least 10 years. IBM noted that previously many employees approached the traditional retirement age have shown an interest in making a contribution to their communities. IBM's move comes as technology executives voice concern about the U.S. losing ground to China, India, and other countries in areas such as math arts and science education. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because you're making your kids stupid by not having them go to school and by rewarding, you know, behavior that is not intelligent. That's why this is occurring. But, you know, that's the long and the short of it there. And as well, you know, like it or not, China is pretty effective at getting their people to do what it wants. Now, in Venezuelan war news, you don't hear much about this. You have to really kind of scour the web to find stories about this. But Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said yesterday he has documentary evidence that the United States plans to invade his country. So he's pretty sure. I mean, the president said that he thinks the U.S. is out to get him. Chavez, interviewed on ABC's Nightline, said the plan is called Balboa and involves an aircraft carrier and planes. A transcript of the interview was made available by Nightline. To prove U.S. intentions to invading Venezuela, Chavez offered to send Nightline host Ted Koppel maps and other documentations. Wow, way to get Ted Koppel in trouble. He said the U.S. soldiers recently went to Caraco, an island off of Venezuela's northwest coast. He described it as a lie, the official U.S. explanation that they visit Caraco to rest and recreation. So he's saying that the soldiers going there, the Americans said, no, that was for R&R. And he said, they're lying. It's not for R&R. They're doing military operations. They were doing movements. They were doing maneuvers, Chavez said, speaking through a translator. He added, we're coming up with the counter Balboa plan. That is to say, if the government of the United States attempts to commit the foolhardy enterprise of attacking us, they would be embarking on a 100-year war. We are prepared. Okay, it's pretty strong words coming from old Chavez down there. He's getting a little uppity with the whole Americans on his turf there. Can't really say that I blame the guy. You know, I mean, if I was, you know, one of those kind of folks who, you know, lived in Venezuela, I probably wouldn't want the Americans on my soil either. You know, that's just me. But, you know, we'll see how this all, you know, boils out. It'll be interesting. So he claims that the aircraft carrier and all those guys are going to come in there and do the damage. I guess it remains to be seen. I guess we'll have to try to figure out what's going on with that. Very, very wild. Now, in camera killer news. Now, you remember the other day there was a Cyberpunk kit update where I had a little gizmo that, you know, was shining out a light and you look through the little centerpiece. Well, it seems that that exact same technology has now evolved into a camera killer. Researchers at the Institute of Technology have come up with an inexpensive way to prevent digital cameras and digital video cameras from capturing that secret shot. So how long before the MPAA and the RIA put all these in a theater, and if somebody so much as brings out a camera, the lights turn on in the theater and everything stops? The technology they've devised detects the presence of a digital camera up to 33 feet away and then can shoot a targeted beam of light at the lens, according to Shitwak Patel, a grad student at the university and one of the lead researchers on the project. That means that someone trying for a surreptitious snapshot of, say, a product prototype or of an amorous couple getting something together less useful, a blurry picture or a video of what looks like a flashlight beam as seen head-on. The video of how the system works can be viewed on the website. The group has developed a lab prototype which consists of a digital projector with a modified video camera mounted on top of it, but will soon design a device that could be manufactured and sold commercially. The group, which presented a paper on its work at UbiComp, the 7th International Conference on Ubiquitous Computing, at Tokyo last week, is also in contact with large consumer electronics manufacturers. Though photo-foiling gadgets are one possibility, the technology might also eventually be incorporated into digital projectors and other devices as a feature. The Georgia Tech researchers aren't alone in their pursuit. Tech giant Hewlett-Packard, for one, has applied for a patent on technology that could remotely cause blurry pictures in digital cameras. But it requires putting an additional circuitry inside the camera. HP and others are also working on projection technology meant to stymie video piracy. Very interesting. A good reason to maybe keep a hold of some film technology, eh? The technology is a stab at, here's a great word, ameliorating the privacy problems that have arisen within the advent of quick ubiquity and tiny dimensions of digital cameras. Nearly 85% of all cell phones in Japan come with built-in digital cameras, and the figure for North America and Western Europe is supposed to rise to 80% by the end of next year, according to market researcher, according to market researcher Gartner. Now, the one thing is on this whole point here, I've noticed this massive amount of cell phones. Now, I wonder, for all those phone freaks out there, once and for all, is this possible? I want to know if this is possible. Is it possible for someone to phone up your cell phone and just take a picture without your knowledge, okay, through the lens of the cell phone, if it happens to be exposed, just take a picture, which if it's in your pocket, you get a picture of nothing. But if it's on the belt and it's showing outside, or maybe you're on a call, which means it's up beside your head, it could just take a picture without your knowledge and send that picture to another location. Now, I know we're in some pretty serious Alex Jones tinfoil hat territory with this question, but what I want to know is it possible? And if it is possible, how can you make sure that that is not happening other than, you know, taking your battery out? But, I mean, if you're on a phone call, well, you know that it's going to be out. It's going to be up by your head unless you're on hands-free. So how would you prevent that? Or is it even possible? That's something I'd like to know. I don't have the technical knowledge. It seems feasible. It seems possible that could happen. But I'd like to know for sure. And in the cell phone front, now, I've been cruising around on some defense review websites, and you'll get some interesting stuff, some interesting tech that's coming out, especially more tech from the U.S. Marines. And not only are they looking at the space program, but it seems the U.S. Marine Corps, and this is in Jamming News, wants its F-35 Joint Strike Force, Joint Strike Fighter, JSF, to be more than an affordable replacement for the Harrier close air support plane. It wants the next generation aircraft to, here's the money quote, jam the cell phones that trigger roadside bombs. Oh, okay, so just cell phones that trigger roadside bombs. No, it wants it to be able to jam cell phones. For about the past 6 months, the Marines have been coming to us and asking if there's anything the JSF could do to support the guys on the ground, to shut down a communication system, said David Jeffries, a program manager with the F-35 maker Lockheed Martin. The Marine Corps, which intends to buy up to 600 F-35s, is hardly the only JSF customer that is intrigued by combining strike and electronic warfare rules in a single plane. So a jet's flying overhead and it jams all cell phone communication. That will be interesting if anyone in a city, you know, if all of a sudden they lose a cell phone strike, you know, a bunch of cell phones go down, to find out if there's any jets in the area, are they testing on this, and won't it be handy just to have jets with the ability to turn off cell phones? Isn't that great? We've discussed electronic attack with every customer, and every single one of them said, we want more of that, said Jeffries, who manages JSF upgrades at Lockheed Martin, who's probably going to get in big trouble for opening his Japs. The JSF is slated to be produced in the thousands of these planes for the U.S. Air Force, Navy, Marines, and British Royal Navy, and to be offered in other countries as well. The plane's potential as a digital killer blurs the traditional line between platforms that collect aerial electronics intelligence and those that act on it. So this is a jammer. It will jam the cell phones. Interesting. Reasons to get, I suppose if it'll jam cell phones, it'll jam anything. It'll jam, you know, UHF frequency, it'll jam everything. No one can talk. A plan that drops precision munitions may also sever analog and digital links in an enemy network, or in a friendly network, or in a blue-on-blue network. It could jam everybody's network, except for maybe guys on tick systems running on specific frequencies, so only the military can talk in that region, thereby disrupting all comms, and no comms, well, it killed Romeo and Juliet, so you know. Between troops, between anti-aircraft missiles and their guidance radar, between an insurgent cell phone and a roadside bomb, between you and me, between everybody, no one has the right to talk except for the Army, with the capabilities of these jets. Very interesting. The Pentagon has seen the need for a better electronics warfare aircraft since at least 2000, when its Kosovo after-action report to Congress said that NATO forces had difficulty targeting missile sites. A separate report noticed that problems included interference from Prowler's jammers with friendly targeting devices. The report to Congress, Prowler was the old aircraft that was used for jamming. The report to Congress launched a classified study of electronic warfare improvements, which in 2001 identified the JSF and its cousin, the FA-22 Raptor, as new electronic warfare candidates. Lockheed is building the FA-22 for the Air Force. Marine officials say they won't talk about their specific electronic warfare needs until the study's finished. Big shock there. What they can do is get into the enemy's radar and alter it without even the bad guys knowing, one analyst said. It's like that line in the movie The Sting. The best con is the one they don't even know where they've been conned. So they're talking about using active radar technology as stealth technology, which is, you know, pretty cool, I would say. Now, I'm going to get into your daily hacks, and I got two of them for you today. Both of them are pretty cool, okay? But the first one I'm going to talk about here, I am all about this. Now, Sim is a big fan of Wikipedia. He happens to think that Wikipedia is the shiznit. And when it first came out, I was kind of like, well, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay, it's just another site. And for some reason, I couldn't really get excited about Wikipedia. I don't know why. It's a very cool site. You know, but I was just sort of like, well, it's kind of like an encyclopedia online. It's like the internet all in one place. And, you know, it's no denying it's very, very cool. But just for some reason, it didn't really get my rocks off, okay? And then Google Earth was around, you know. And Google Earth, although it is very, very cool, was not... Wow, there's a lot of static just now. My God, what does it mean? No. Don't worry, it's nothing after now related. It just means that my microphone cord has been smacking the side of my laptop where I'm recording the show and causing me problems. But regardless, let's get back to the news stories. Sorry about the small distraction there. So Google Earth came out, and my buddy CyberTech, he was all about the Google Earth. Oh my God, very, very cool, and keyhole and all that kind of jazz. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like a map of a region that's anime, which is kind of cool. But I didn't really see anything, you know, it didn't really get me too excited. Again, very cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, it just didn't get me too excited. But along comes this particular link here called Placeopedia, which takes pretty much Google Earth and the Wikipedia and combines it. So you can go to a region, get a hybrid map overlay with satellite photographs that when you click on a location will give you the Wikipedia articles for ground intel. Now, this is pretty goddamn sexy. If you get a chance, make sure you get down there and check this out. This is super duper cool. I'm here to tell you, you want to check out this Placeopedia thing, and you know, if you can, you know, get involved with this, maybe we should make an entry for Rant Media Studios. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding, because we're not going to give them GPS credit for that. But you know what I'm saying? I think this is pretty hot. I'm pretty sure that if you were to go down, I mean, you could think about all the different information, things you could learn about local things in your area. I mean, this is just fantastic. This is a great example of something that I would definitely want to have some kind of interface with my wearable, to be sure. Now, the other daily hack I got for you is called How to Disappear in America Without a Trace. Actually, and a lot of people would ask me, you know, why is it that you'd want to be able to disappear in America? Well, I think that everybody has the right to try to disappear if they want to. I think everybody has the right to privacy. You know, and if that's something you want to do, that's fine. And it's good to know, you know, exactly how that's done. And they've recently just updated that. I may have linked to this article before, but just recently they put some more upgrades on there. So you might want to swing by and check that particular article out. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people and a couple more for the month of, what was that, August? Yeah, I guess it's September 20th today. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because you know what? Every little bit helps out here. Upcoming events I have done for you, but I do want to say thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that is newsreal at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Mellotron called Clang Combinat from 1999 to 2003. Great album to check out, you know, keep current with the band. I'm going to leave you now with one of my all-time, probably my all-time favorite track by Ministry. This is Just One Fix, but I'm going to give you the 12-inch edit. And it's probably a toss between this one and Jesus Built My Hot Rod, the 12-inch edit. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line. We'll be right back.
Younger for a few days, then they need more.